At the Water's Edge, presented by I Dream in Plot Points, a story-driven episodic immersive experience. More adventures await you on our website.
The morning sun shone brightly on the sleeping pair beside the lake. Groaning as he rolled in the grass onto his side, he used his arm to shield his eyes from the light. His other arm felt of pinpricks from his muscles that were still locked in position with his hand clasping hers. He peeked from undercover at the mermaid's half-submerged body.
Good morning.
His greeting was not returned.
I said good morning.
She did not stir.
Maya?
He released her hand and gripped her shoulder. It was icy to the touch.
Maya?
He pulled his knees underneath him and leaned over her. He turned her to get a better hold under her arms and wake her. Her neck gave no support and her head drooped lifelessly onto the soft grass. Through all this jostling, her eyes remained closed.
Evil poisonous potion.
He cupped her face in his hands, bending to touch his cheek to hers. Her freezing skin gave the faintest of shivers at the contact. Holding his own breath, he moved his ear near her lips.
Keep breathing, Maya. Keep breathing.
He took off his coat, wrapping it around her shoulders and dragging her up and out of the water. He hugged her to his body, attempting to give her as much of his warmth as possible.
Maya, wake up. Wake up.
He supported the back of her neck and head, kissing her blue-tinged lips.
I'll give you all the kisses in the world if you open your eyes. Open your eyes for me.
He held her closer, rubbing his hands up and down her back as if he were stoking a fire.
I can feel you breathing. I know you're still there. You cannot leave me here alone. I won't have it. Do you hear me?
I hear you.
He paused his hands and supported her body to sit up in his arms. While softly caressing her face, she wearily opened her eyes.
Thomas.
I'm here.
I'm cold.
You're freezing.
He rubbed his hands up and down her arms even faster than before.
Why am I cold?
It was a very clear night last night with that big moon.
The moon. I never want to see that moon again.
She nuzzled into him, hiding her face. Holding her close, he shut his eyes as he rocked her slowly.
I can get a fire started and warm you up properly.
He tucked the long coat around her body to insulate her when his hand stopped.
Don't stop. Please.
You feel different.
How?
He moved her hands from around his own neck to underneath the coat. She gasped and threw off the fabric.
Legs. I have legs.
He draped the coat quickly back over her.
There is such a thing as modesty.
Thomas, I have legs. It worked. The elixir worked.
Mwah!
She kissed him and rose to her newly acquired feet, but just as swiftly she began to tumble down. He gripped her hips as she landed in his lap.
Slow down, slow down.
She touched at her neck and ribcage.
No gills. My gills are gone.
She suddenly forgot how it was she was breathing and began to cough and choke.
Calm breaths. In through the nose. And out through the mouth. Like me. Together. Very good.
She breathed at a more consistent pace.
We can travel so much faster now. Let's go.
She stood and he held her hips to stabilize her wobble.
We will go slow at first, until you get your land legs as it were. But firstly, you need to dress for the occasion.
He stood, walking to the tree where he had hung his underclothes to dry overnight.
Not exactly appropriate for your feminine form, but these will have to do. Arms up.
She lifted her arms above her head as he slipped the beige tunic over her. He knotted the laces closed at the collar and folded the sleeves shorter to meet her wrists.
Trousers.
He knelt and fed one of her legs through a pant leg. She braced her hands on his shoulder as he slipped in the other leg. He moved the material up to her knees.
Pull them up.
He took her hands and closed them around the waist of the pants. She pulled them the rest of the way as he laughed.
What's funny?
Despite being completely dry, you're absolutely swimming in my clothes.
Do not laugh at me.
She protested as the pants fell from around her to the ground.
My goodness.
He stood, pulling the pants up with him. He took the hem of the shirt tucking into the pants. He removed the belt from his own waist and put it around hers, lifting them the correct height.
There. Trousers secured.
She looked down at her freshly styled outfit.
Do I look silly?
Silly nothing. You are a scandal.
Scandal?
No decent woman would dare be seen in men's clothing. Perhaps that's why it suits you so well.
He swept her up into his arms and kissed her with more passion than all of their past kisses combined.
We need to double back to the stream to collect the supplies and then we head onwards.
He punctuated the plan with another kiss before moving towards the trees.
Thomas, I can walk now. Put me down.
There are too many rocks and twigs and creepy crawlies on the ground. Your tender feet will be blistered in no time.
She wiggled her legs as his arms braced tighter.
What's the use of these legs if I don't use them?
You may try to use them once we get back to camp and your feet are properly booted. Any more complaints and it's back over my shoulder you go.
No, not again. I nearly lost my dinner of sweet flag when you did that.
He smirked and nuzzled his cheek to hers.
Be a sweet little passenger and hold on. You'll be walking soon enough.
Having reunited with their travel supplies and her newly sprouted feet adequately booted, she leaned on him as they walked.
We're going even slower than when I had my tail.
Patience is a virtue. Your new limbs are but a few hours old and already you're up and about. No one is born knowing how to walk.
Dear.
Yes, darling?
Deer know how to walk when they are born. I've seen it.
He cleared his throat and hoped she did not notice the embarrassment that colored his cheeks.
No one on two legs is born knowing how to walk. They learn. Just as you are.
I should have wished in my wish that my legs would be ready for immediate use.
You packed quite a bit in that one wish as it was.
She stumbled in the spare pair of boots and he caught her quickly.
Must I really wear these?
Perhaps it would be worth a try without the boots.
He knelt and slipped off the tall leather boots. She flexed her toes in the grass and smiled.
So soft.
He smiled and patted her clothed calf.
Let's test the theory.
Standing, he slowly backed away from her and rested his hands on his hips. She looked at him confused.
Come, come.
By myself.
'Tis but a few yards.
She tucked her hair behind her ears and glanced nervously at her feet.
Do just as you were before, just under your own power.
She straightened up and began to move her foot forward, then stopped.
You're the one that wanted to walk.
Something squished between my toes.
That's why I put you in boots. Come along.
Can you not hold my hand?
Try alone first.
She bit at her lower lip and took another small, cautious step.
Other foot now.
She slowly slid her other foot forward.
That wasn't exactly a step, but I'll allow it.
This is so difficult.
You've already been so brave. This is child's play in comparison. You can do it.
He held his arms out ready to embrace her.
Close the gap.
She misunderstood his gesture and mimicked him, raising her arms to the side and holding them there. She exhaled and put one foot forward and the other.
That's it. That's the way.
The positioning helped her find balance and she stepped her feet in front of the other like walking on a tightrope.
I'm doing it.
Yes, you are.
She kept her eyes on her feet and moved more quickly. She stepped and stepped until she ran smack into his chest.
See? You did it.
She hugged him.
Well done. Very well done.
His hand took hold of one of hers while his other hand rested on her hip. She watched their clasped hands as he lifted them in the air and began moving both his and her body in a circle. She clung to him at the motion.
What are you doing?
Since you're such a quick study at walking, I thought we'd move on to dancing.
He moved his arm to brace around her waist, lifting her bare feet off the ground as he spun them. She gripped both her arms around his neck to hold on. He chuckled again and held her.
Too much too soon?
Her grip did not loosen. He moved her legs to wrap around his waist and he laced his hands underneath to support her weight.
Not to worry. I will not let you fall.
She leaned back slightly with her hands on his shoulders. He gave her a kiss and she pulled herself closer to him, continuing the kiss. Placing his lips just below her ear, he whispered,
"Do you like strawberries?"
"I do not know."
"Well, I can clearly see a bountiful bush bursting with strawberries. Shall we have a sampling?"
"Yes."
He set her on her feet and they walked hand in hand to the shrub. After taking an appraising look, he then plucked a particularly juicy looking berry and took a bite.
"Good?"
"No."
"No."
"Not good, fantastic."
She smiled and picked one. She carefully took a bite.
"I love it."
He set down his packs and sloughed off his long coat.
"Arms, if you please."
She straightened her arms and he slipped the coat on for her to wear.
"There. You're the captain now."
She ran her fingers over the epaulets and the shiny buttons. He bloused out his shirt to create a large pocket and began placing picked strawberries. She copied him and set her pickings gently in his created pouch. He gathered the material with one hand and took her hand in the other.
"We'll have a proper picnic, you and I."
He led her to a patch of pink-edged daisies and helped her to sit. He settled next to her and unfurled his pouch of plenty. She chose and began to nibble at her next strawberry.
"Those berries have turned your lips a most enticing hue." "What is it?"
"It has done the same for you, but I thought it impolite to say so."
"Funny, is it?" "Once we've had our fill of berries, we must be off in search of water."
"But why? I have legs now."
"Indeed you do, but we still are in need of it to drink."
"Oh."
"Although."
He gently ran his thumb just under her lower lip.
"I would not mind drinking of these lips all the day long."
"Are you thirsty, Thomas?"
"Very much so."
She pressed her lips to his in the hopes of satiating them both.
Thank you for listening to this episode of At the Water's Edge. Please visit our website for more storytelling experiences.